The lesson that I'll be sharing with you tonight, I believe is going to be a small part of a bigger lesson which I'm planning to share with the church on a Wednesday night when I get the opportunity once more to share with you. I'm planning to do it also on a Wednesday night, this lesson. Now, what I want you to think about tonight is the title of the lesson is the Bible. And is this Bible just a good, nice book? Or does it have things that we can benefit from spiritually? So is it just a very good, nice book? Or is it something that we can use for our own lives spiritually? Very, very interesting topic. And I've been thinking about this for weeks. I'm putting it together for weeks. I was saying to them, Brother Mishra, before you came in, that when I get the opportunity on a Wednesday night, I want to put it in a broader context. But this is just a small part of the lesson. Now, when people are doing secular studies, say for argument's sake, you are doing history, like what your granddaughter did, Brother Mitchell. Now, some people, when they study history, they'll say, well, it's just something from the past that I've looked on. You know, it doesn't have any application for me currently, you know. But the person who studies history, say at the advanced level or degree, they will not just look at history as some facts that took place many hundred years ago or so on. But they're looking at history as something that they can learn from so that they don't repeat what? Mistakes. And they can know what to improve in their relationships and so on. When history is done at a very advanced level and you do well in that subject, it means that you are able to make analysis and connections and see how the past things relate to your life now. The Bible is even more important than any history book. Because if you can see that history can be used to make even application today, then we must accept that the Bible, which is superior to any history textbook that man has written with his view on history, because the Bible is not expressing the view of different people. The Bible is expressing God's will to mankind. So the Bible is not just a nice, good book that is just nice and good and have nice things inside up there, but there's not more to it. The Bible is a living guide for us, to guide us to salvation. Now, when we approach the Bible, we have different levels of people approaching the Bible. And I'm going to give you a rundown of some of these people. Brother Mitchell, church, you even have the gunman who used the Bible, you know. Did you know that? Even the gunman used the Bible. Because when he's going on his evil deeds, and he's very superstitious. He believed that he must still have a little New Testament Bible or some Bible somewhere on his person. And that will protect him. He's going to do evil deeds, you know. Did you know that? He's going to kill. He's going to rape. He's going to murder. He's going to do evil things. And he's still carrying the Bible with him. The Bible is not for that purpose. The Bible was never for that purpose. Going because, you know, they carry their Bible. And some of them out there will be a man with them and all that. You know all of these things? And to get so-called blessings so that they are protected. So they walk with the Bible for that purpose. Going to the evil deeds, you know. Then you have, no, and you might say, Brother Gilbert, I know about that. I would never use the Bible in that way. I'm not going to kill anybody and walk with the Bible for that purpose. So that doesn't apply to me at all. Then you have those people now, Brother Michel, who will take the Bible and put it on their pillow and open it to Psalms. Am I correct? Yes. So they are not going to do evil deeds, they're not going to go and kill, but they still have a wrong view of the Bible. Because they are using the Bible now just to for sickness or whatever, or good fortune. Very superstitious. The Bible is not for that purpose. It's not just a nice book for those kinds of purpose. Then you have those people now who are very religious, and they're not using it now for superstition. They go to church regularly and they use the Bible. But these people now are very picky, are very selective in what they take from the Bible. So what doesn't suit them, they don't pay that much attention at all. So they just use the Bible as, you know, like you go to a some conference or talk and they have motivational talks. You hear those people give motivation talk? They use the Bible like that. The Bible is just to give them motivation or to encourage them. So they use the Bible in that way. They don't use the Bible. It's a good book, just like any other book that they would read. They use it like motivation. And then the very religious person, they pick from it what they want. So they don't see that the Bible applies to all aspects of their lives. They just choose what they want. You know, like you got Kentucky, and some people like the breast, and some people like the wing. Am I correct? And you choose what you want. The Bible is not like that. The Bible is not something you just pick what you want from it and you leave the other part that does not appeal to you at all. Let's summarize again. The Bible is not just merely a good book. It's not merely a good book, a nice book. It's not a book that you just put on your person when you're going to do evil deeds. It's not for that purpose. It's not a book that you put on your pillow, you know, to keep away bad fortune, or you have a headache or you're sick, you put on your pillow for good fortune. It's not for that. The Bible is not just because for motivation and encouragement. Like you go to the Bible, you read the psalm, you get wonderful encouragement. It's not just for that. The Bible is not just a book that you are very religious. You go to church and you take out what you want from it, but there are certain parts of it you are not interested in at all. The Bible is not for that. The Bible must be approached. It is not just any book. The Bible must be approached with reverence, because the Bible contains the will of God for all our lives. So it must be approached in a different way. It can't be approached like you approach a history book or an econ book or a biology book or a maths book. It's a book that comes from God. So you must accept that it comes from God. No, I'm always shocked. Religious people, you know. And these aren't that, and we talk about not just the church goer now, but the religious leaders. Oh, they have these places called Bible colleges or theological college. And they believe that parts of the Bible just are myths, you know. They believe that parts of the Bible, things that are in Genesis, these are just myths. They didn't really occur. So they believe in those kind of things. So they still don't fully believe in the Bible. And the things that they call myth, Christ quote from those things. Amen. Christ quote from those situations. Now, when we approach the Bible, as I said, we don't approach it like any ordinary, normal book. We approach it because we know that God is the one that delivered the message in the Bible. Am I correct? Yes. So it's important that we read the Bible carefully. The Bible must be read. For ourselves, I start with the very basic, you know. Don't depend on just Brother Mitchell or Brother Gilbert or Brother Eddie or Derek or any of the brothers, or, you know, to just come and preach to you. You must also read it for yourselves. Am I correct? Yes. You must read the Bible. But you mustn't just read like that. You must read to understand. You must read with the understanding. Remember the man asked the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? You must read with the understanding. Therefore, you need to study the Bible. Not just read the Bible, but study the Bible. You need to reflect and meditate on the passages that you're reading. What is this passage really saying? Really meditate on it. Am I correct, Brother Michel? Reflect on what you're saying. And just don't just pass over the words in the Bible. Really reflect on what it is saying. And as you reflect now, you're going to ask yourself certain questions. Listen to the question you're going to ask yourself. What does the Bible, as I say that bigger lesson, what does the Bible teach about God? What can I learn about God? He's talking to me. So I can't learn about God from my opinion of him. I can't learn about God because I dream something about him. He's telling me about himself by what he revealed in the Bible. He's telling me about himself by what he commands. He's telling me about himself by how I saw how he related to people. Certain principles came out when he related to them. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? And certain characteristics of God came out in different situations in the Bible. And the same way, the principle of what came out in the Bible, in God's dealing with man, is not going to change. So it's not just a history book that you read about, Cain and Abel, Nadab and Abihu. It's not just thing you read about them. When you read about them, read about the errors that they make, and how did God respond to those? And how you respond to those now is how you respond to us in a similar one situation. So what we talk about now, make the application. Make the application. Don't just look at it that way. So you're going to read, study, reflect on what you are seeing to get the understanding of it. And then you're going to make the what? Application. You're going to make the application. So you're going to ask yourself a question. What does the Bible teach about God? What does the Bible teach about Satan? You see something like this? What does the Bible teach about Satan? Satan is powerful enough in his deceitful or deceitful nature. And the way he can deceive people, and the Bible show us how he can deceive people. Can he not do the same thing today? Can he deceive me today? That's what you can do, the reflection, the application, you know. The same thing that he did in the Bible, and God revealed what he did. God revealed how he approached Christ. God revealed how he approached Eve. God revealed how he approached different people in the Bible, different characters in the Old Testament. Am I correct, Brother Michelle? God revealed that in the Bible because God wants us to know. So the Bible is, God wants us to know certain things, you know, so we can be aware of the wiles and the strategies of Satan. When you read the Bible, what does the Bible reveal about the plan of what? Salvation. What does it reveal about the plan of salvation? Is it just a historical book? No. What the plan of salvation is then, the plan of salvation is now. What does it reveal about the plan of salvation? And there are so many other aspects of the Bible that when you read these scriptures, you must read it without any sort of distraction. You must study it without any distraction. That's something what I mean by distraction. You must reflect on it without any distraction. You must apply it without any distraction. What I call distraction now? Anything that will make the pure word of God impure. That's what distraction is. Your own views is a distraction. Your own opinion is a distraction. Another person's opinion or view is a distraction, because it is going to let the pure word of God not having any effect become impure. So when you approach the Bible now, God, what do you have to say to me in this area? Then you read and listen to him. Listen to him and apply it. Don't put what you want in it because you don't like it. Listen to him and then you apply it. As simple as that, you know. So it's not just merely a nice book. that you can select what you want. Because that's how people mainly use it now. People are very religious, very good to church every day. They just take from it what they want, or they fail to see the application. They fail to see the deeper meaning of passages. And we soon go to those case studies. So the Bible is, God is telling us what His Word. His Word is so rich. That David said in Psalm, turn to it, 119 and verse 11. David said in that Psalm, Thy Word, whose Word? God's Word, the Scriptures. Thy Word have I what? Hid in mine heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. God wants us to know the value of His Word. And His Word, when we know it, it will cause us not to what? Not to sin against Him. So it's not just any little book. It's a book that will cause us not to sin against Him. It's a book that will cause us, when we read the Word and we study it, we put it in our heart. But David did not say enough that God, I'm going to put my word in my own heart. David never said anything like that. He never shared his own opinion. He said, God, Your word is what I'm going to put where? In my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if it's not there, you don't know it, you will sin. But I'm going to make a very powerful statement this morning. I think most of us might have a very powerful statement where it says, we can sin. There are so many ways. I think, is that what you said? Something to that effect, Brother Mitchell. That there are so many we can sin and don't even know. There are so many ways we can sin and don't even know. And that's why it's so important now to study, to read, reflect, study, apply, and put His Word where? In our heart. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 for me. Everybody turn to that for me. Romans 12 and verse 2. Listen to what the writer of the scripture says here. And be not what? Conformed to this world. I want that soaking up. And be not what? Conformed to this world. Don't pattern your life after this world. Now, normally, when you read this passage, a lot of us in our minds, we think of world, and we are correct, you know, but it's not just that. We think of world as the, you know, the world of the parties and the world of the looseness and the world of the immorality and the world of that. We must be conformed to this world. But what any aspect, not just for that, you know, any aspect of world thinking, man's thinking is a world. Am I right, Brother Michelle? So even the religious world, we can't be conformed to it. Am I correct? Because we grow up, that can stop us from approaching the Bible properly. We grow up in an environment or in a context where we see churches everywhere. Different what? Denominations. We have friends who are members of denomination. Close friends. We have relatives who are members of denomination. Sometimes we were once members of denomination. So we just take it for granted that it's okay. Be not conformed to this world. Any aspect of this world. Because the world that we live in, going to say, is all right. Any church is a church, but we cannot be conformed to that. We cannot be conformed to this world. All aspects of this world, you know. So we can't conform. Don't just look at the passage and say, this world, the writer just meant the looseness and the immorality. It wasn't just that. But once you are in the world, you're going to have certain thoughts and patterns and ideas that come from the world, because it's not going to come from God's word once you are in the world. So do not be conformed to this world. Listen to the other part now. What does it say? But there comes the contrast between the ways of the world and the but. So we as Christians, we can't say everything is fine, the denominational world is fine. We can't say that. Because we have to be transformed by what now? By the renewing of your mind, listen now, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. Amen. The Christianity is wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
All that is good is not in the world.
Right.
The environment that we live in, we can't follow that.
Right.
All that is good, all that is acceptable, is not in the world. Even in the religious world, we can't find it there. All that is perfect is not in the world. It's only going to come from the scriptures. So we have to approach the scripture, that Bible, that book called the Bible, in a different way. It's the only thing that will transform, am I right, brother? It's the only thing that will transform our mind. The scriptures. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15. All of you know it. Study to what? How are we going to show ourselves approved? By what? Talk to me. By what? Studying. Study. Are we going to study books of philosophy? No. Because we know we can't conform to this world. So this world will have nothing to offer to us. So we're going to study from that perfect will of God. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be what? Ashamed. Rightly. Not wrongly, no. Not wrongly, no. The way we should study. Rightly dividing the what? The word of truth. Rightly. Dividing the word of truth. When you're wrong, they do it, you know, just pick up what you want and leave. What, that's not what the Bible is saying when it says dividing.
That's
right. By subject, topic by topic, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. That is how we must approach the Bible. Because Proverbs, you know, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, it tells us every word of God is what? Pure. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words. Everybody turn to that passage quickly. Proverbs chapter 30, 5 and 6. Everyone turn to it. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he prove thee, thou be found a liar. Anytime we add to his word, we are only found to be liars. And there is no effect. It doesn't matter if we worship 7 days a week for the full 24 hours. If we are adding to his word, there is no effect. No positive effect for us. Nothing for us, because all we would be doing is what? Lying. Do you really believe that? This comes from the word of God, you know. This is from the revealed will of God. So if you want to take out this passage of the Bible, you have to know now, when you read this passage now, let's look at this passage carefully. You're going to read it first, you know. You're going to study. You meditate on it. You're going to see the application. Could it be that if I add to this word of God and say that I have to pray through somebody else to get to God, that person is a different mediator, different from Christ, you know? Could I be adding to it? So you're going to ask yourself those questions, and we are in your reflection. When I'm putting a name, the Bible reveals scriptural names for the body of Christ. Am I correct? When I put a name and call it, this week, I don't remember the name of that one now, but this week I turned on the radio I came home, I wasn't feeling so well. I came home and turned on the radio from work. I came home and just turned on the radio. And I heard the RGR, it was an RGR, and the two DJs, I don't remember their names now, was joking about this name of this church. The name was so long that even they saw it as comical. They saw it so comical. The name of the denomination was so long. Like, I don't know, remember the name. Like you said, Holy Name of Christ, Holy Temple, God. It was so long. Isn't that adding? People must ask themselves those questions, you know. Can you say you own the Bible? You say you're using the Bible. But in the Bible, where is the name of your church? As basic as that. As basic as that. And it is so dangerous for you. It is so dangerous for your soul. You understand what I'm saying, Elaine? As basic as that, where is the name of your church in the Bible? If the name of your church cannot be found there, what did God call you? Let's look at the passage again. Read it for me again, Brother Fitch. Read it for me quickly. Proverbs 35 and 6.
Quickly. Every word of God is pure.
Every word of God is what? Pure.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Add thou not unto his words.
Do not add to his word. Do you believe that? Stop a little bit, Brother Fisher. Yeah. Do you believe this passage? Yeah. When you read and study it and you're reflecting on it, do you see what it is saying? Does it have any application to what you are doing religiously?
That's right.
Are you really adding to his word? Or you just have my passage where I just say, I'm just going to apply it to some kind of motivational thing for my life. I can look and see, God is a shield. So you take that part, you know. He's a shield, and I trust in him, so he's a shield unto me. And you preach on that day, that Sunday, you try. Everybody say amen, hallelujah. He's a shield, and everybody pray. But you're not seeing that you're adding to his word. By the very name of your church is different. You're not seeing that part. I'm just fine. But you're not seeing that part. And you preach hard, you know. And you know they like to preach already with it. He's a shield. Everybody say hallelujah, amen. He's a shield. But you don't see that the word, the church that you call itself, is not even in the Bible. It's not just used like a crutch. God's word is not just used like a crutch. It's not just used to just make you feel good. God's word is used there now for he wants supposed to know certain things. You understand? So we can't just take that easy shield. Because that sound good for us, and the members of the church, you know, they say hallelujah, amen, he's a shield. But are you in that very worship adding to his word? In that very worship that you're doing, are you adding to his word? And if you're adding to his word, you must acknowledge that you're a liar. You have to call a spade, or whatever it said. You're a liar. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. But I'm going to start reading from verse 14. Everybody turn your Bible to find it quickly. Everybody turn your Bible here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 14. Listen to it now. But continue thou. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. I wonder where Brother Gilbert going with this now. But continue thou in the things which you have what? Learned. The Bible is something, not just a book you just put on for motivation, but you learn from it. Am I correct? And you continue in the learning of it. So you continue down in the things which thou hast learned. Everything, you know. You're not selective. So you can continue down the things which you have learned. And you have been assured of it. You can't be assured of man-made teaching. there's no assurance in man-made teaching. You learn and you assured knowing. That's the only time you can really know, you know, and be assured when you know you're really following this, the Bible. Knowing of whom thou hast learned. You know the authority. Right. Of whom do we learn, church? We learn from God, Christ, and he passed on to who? The apostles. So we know of whom we have learned. That is very important, we study the Bible. Because let me use secular. Let me use secular word. Say, Brother Mitchell, you are, I don't somebody like it, but I can't use that exact example. I can use a different example. Say, Brother Mitchell, you don't know anything at all about baking. Nothing at all about baking. But Elaine knows about baking. But Elaine have a school. And some of us went to Elaine's school. And some people, you just feel that like you probably just read a book about baking and you feel you can bake. But more than that, you know, you feel you can have a school of baking. You can't, Brother Mitchell, you can't have a school of baking. No, Brother Mitchell, only read a book, you know, and then Philip don't think about baking. Elaine has been baking for years. So anybody who go to Elaine's school and learn about baking, they have truly learned. Am I correct? But anybody who come to your school, they truly learn? No. So it's also of whom you have learned these things. And that's what verse 14 is saying. Look at it again. Continue doing the thing which thou hast learned, right? And being assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Knowing of whom thou hast learned. You can't be assured if you learn from man-made teaching and man-made churches and man-made doctrine. If you call a spade, but we know of whom we have learned. He goes on now. And that from a child there was knowing the what? In the scripture, they said the Holy Scripture, qualified, different from any other scripture. That's wrong. Which are able. What is able now? This scripture is able to make you what? Wise unto salvation. Only this can do it. And it can only do it when it is pure. Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Read verse 16 for me now, Brother Fisher. Quick.
All scripture is...
What you said a while ago? They were saying Jamaica. What word you said a while ago?
All.
No man, some.
All scripture.
No, you can't be right. Doctrine not important. Just worship God and praise and hallelujah. What it says?
All scripture
is what?
Is given by inspiration of God.
Of God, and of whom there was learned. Don't forget that verse 14. No? Of whom there was learned these things. The scripture is given by inspiration of who? Of God. And because it's given by inspiration of God, these things are follow now. What is following now? And is what now?
Profitable for
stop
doctrine.
Stop a second, man. Stop a little bit. And is. Is. That verb is a verb, you know. Meaning the state of being, the essence of something. They say is. State of being, the essence of something. That word is. That we take a lot of, we take it for granted. But because it is given by inspiration of God, it is going to be is. This question for now, and is given by inspiration of God. And because of that now, it is what?
Profitable
for what?
For doctrine.
Doctrine.
For
proof. What a second, man. Doctrine that they say is not what? Important. Who said it's important here? God. It is profitable for what? For doctrine. So we can't be conformed to this world because we see this world going to different denominations and think everything is fine. We can't be conformed to the world, but we transform now by what God is saying to us. It is profitable for what? Doctrine. For what?
For reproof.
For what else?
For correction.
For what else?
For instruction in righteousness.
When I go to Elaine's school to learn baking, Elaine is an expert in baking. She has the expertise. She can pass on her knowledge to me because of her expertise. Brother Michelle. When I go to Brother Michelle baking school now, he wanna learn anything about baking, you know. So he can't pass on anything to me. When he teaches the students to bake, the cake falling flat on him. And he asks the student, you know, what can I do now? What can he try to bluff them, you know? Can I do this way? Try it this way, man. We can try to bluff him way through it. Because he can't deliver the baking course. Who can deliver the baking course? Elaine. Why? Because she's able to. She has the knowledge. She has the expertise. Who have salvation to give us? God and Christ. Can man give salvation? Whose name is salvation in? Is it any other man's name? That's how you must read the Bible. That's how you must read the Bible and make the application of the passage. I hope you're taking notes because you can use this to study people with people, you know. And it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as a purpose now, verse 17. Read it for me now, quickly.
That the man of God.
That. Get the purpose now. The man of God may be what?
May be perfect.
Continue.
Thoroughly furnished.
Yes.
Unto all good works.
Stop. When I go, I'm coming back to the baking example again. When I go to Elaine's baking school, Elaine has the expertise now. She teach me. And after she teach me now, I can do well in baking on my own. When I go to Brother Michelle's school, can I do well in baking on my own? No. Because I did not get it from the right source. Get it? So the same way now, when you are going to a man-made church, can you be perfect? Can you be thoroughly furnished unto all good works? That's how you must apply the Bible. When you read it from and you're going to a denomination, you must apply the Bible. Now, I don't have much time. I had about 3 hours of case studies, but I'm only going to give you one of them. No. This lesson, I'm going to come back to it, Brother Michelle. Another Sunday night again, because it's not finished at all by far. It's not finished by far. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. I'm just going to use this one. I'm going to make a note for the others another time. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 to 13. Read that one for me, Brother Fisher.
Now I beseech you,
yes,
brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing.
Hold a second for me. When he's writing this passage, is this a part of Scripture? Is this a part of Scripture, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Is it expressing what God's desire is? Although Paul is the one writing, because he's inspired, isn't he? Yes, he's inspired. Bible says every scripture is inspired of God. So whatever Paul is writing here, is it Paul's opinion? No, he's inspired. And the brother listener will show the link now that he's really inspired. So he is inspired. And he's saying certain things to people there now. Continue for me, Brother Fisher.
And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Stop a second. What is God's desire for his people? That they be what? Perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Yet you say that there must be variety. You say that, you know. And when I'm talking to you, you show me nature and say that not every plant is the same plant, not every animal is the same animal, but your illustration must always match with scriptural accuracy. Right. It doesn't match with scriptural accuracy here, because in scriptural accuracy here, I'm seeing certain words used over and over. What are the words I see used over and over, church? I'm seeing the word same. You see, Brother Mitchell? I'm not seeing the word different, am I? No, I'm seeing the word same. And when the word religion was used, it was condemned. Same is what God wants us to move towards. So same mind and the same judgment. Now in verse 11 he says, it has been clear to me that there are contentions among you. Does God want that? No. No, this I say, that every one of you says, I am of what? Paul. So some of them were saying they belong to Paul's church. The church of Paul. Yeah, I can say it like that, you know. Can them say, I am of Paul. That means I want to follow Paul. They were very carnal, no. And the other one says, and I of Apollos. Another one says, and I of Cephas. And one says, and I of Christ. So they never even understand. Even in the apostolic days, the people never even understand what the scriptures were saying. They wanted to have this partisan thing. Man love partisan stuff, you know. Man love partisan things. You look at the world. Oh, the world is, remember, we cannot be conformed to the world. Because God won't share his glory with anybody. Remember the lesson this morning? God won't share glory with anybody. So you can't have a church belonging to you. At the same time, say you're serving God. Because that is condemned right here. Because Paul says, is Christ divided? The answer is definitely no. Was Paul crucified for you? He asked them questions for them to think. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? All these are questions that Paul is asking them. Think about what you are really saying. So you can see the implications of what you are saying. Everybody must approach the Bible like that. When you have a false view, what is the implication of this view? How does it line up with scripture? How will it affect me? So read the Bible, study the Bible, reflect on the Bible, make the application. Because the Bible is a book where the application can be made. It is not a dead book, you know. With ancient, you understand me, Mr. Jones, with ancient scrolls. Gathering dust. It's not like that. It is to be used in our everyday lives. Every aspect of it. Moral aspect, religious aspect, doctrinal aspect. Every aspect of it. It must be used in that way. And that is why denominational world have a challenge. They are not approaching the Bible the way it ought to be approached. They are approaching it, holding on to their views, being not conformed to this world. And we also have the danger, because we are the church of Christ now. We see we can be also kind of blunted, you know, stunted and blunted by it. Because all our friends are going denominational, our relatives are in it. So over time, we can lull ourselves to believe that it is right and true. Lull ourselves into that. What the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. So I'm hoping that this lesson somehow was of help to you. You know, I really hope so, because we have to approach the Bible, brethren, with the right attitude, the right disposition. It's not what we want. Is what God wants to tell us. And we must just submit ourselves and accept what he wants to tell us. Thank you very much.
Turn to song 279. Please stand as we sing this song. 279.